Hi, I'm Chuck Finley. Welcome to Money Life. Let me ask you a question. When it comes to medicine, do you prefer a teaspoon of sugar or a teaspoon of vinegar? Well, that relates to my analysis of the debt problems we have in the U.S. and the Eurozone and how we're ever going to solve them. I've definitely got my opinions, and I'm going to share those with you in just a moment. After that, I'll interview a pastor from Michigan who has an amazing story of getting out of debt. You'll be inspired. And then I'm going to give you some tips of how you can reduce your car loan, all coming up on Money Life. But first, let me ask you this. Did you experience Europhoria? What is Europhoria? Well, it's what happened in the stock market in October when the European leaders got together and announced they had solved the debt crisis. All of a sudden, the market skyrocketed. And it didn't take long. In fact, it was less than 24 hours that Europhoria was actually over. In my opinion, the European leaders gave us a teaspoon of sugar. It was a simple sugar high that made us all feel better. Because as analysts began to scratch beneath the surface, there were absolutely no substantive details of how that problem was really going to be solved. Now, what they proposed was that the Greeks take a 50% haircut or write down their debt by 50%, meaning that they essentially would default on their debt. And then with more debt, they would fund these liabilities and all the problems would go away and everybody would be happy again. That sugar caused people to rush back into the market and say, happy days are here again. And what they were avoiding was the real serious issues of how to solve the crisis long term. Now, in my opinion, I agree with the analyst who recently wrote a paper for Société Générale, that's the largest bank in France, and their analysis was this. We're all Greeks. We all have too much debt, and we all need an austerity plan. And that analyst was in fact saying the best solution to this problem is a teaspoon of vinegar. Now, vinegar doesn't taste good, but in fact, it causes healing to take place. It's my opinion that we all need a teaspoon of vinegar, not only to solve the economic problems in the Western world, both in Europe and the United States, but in our own personal life. We need to be able to say, that's tough medicine to swallow vinegar, but it will bring back health. What is the vinegar? Live within our means, pay off the debt, save for the future. Be generous along the way. Do all the things that God said were best for us. Now, it may not feel good in the short term, but long term, it will bring back true economic health and vitality. Right now, things are in chaos. Tremendous mess going on in the world. That's why there's all the volatility in the market. One day it's up, one day it's down. People are looking for whether it's time to go back into the market or time to flee and get out. Nobody really knows the direction to take. Because essentially, the philosophy of the world right now is to keep taking teaspoons of sugar, keep heaping debt upon debt in order to make ourselves feel better, postpone the pain, and ride this out on a sugar high. Here's the problem. One day, the bill's going to come due. Take a look at this cartoon. I think it sums it up beautifully. Right there, you see that the Fed is delivering toxic debt to our doorstep. Do you know, in the month of October, the debt in the United States increased by $650 for every man, woman, and child in the United States. For over 300 million people, we incurred a future obligation to pay off $650 of debt in 1 month. Now, my children, two that are at home, are not earning $650 a month, and my wife doesn't work. So that means for a family of four, I incurred $2,600 in future liability to pay off the American debt. That's in 1 month. And guess what? If you're in America, so did you. You incurred your $650 of debt. How are we going to solve that problem? In my view, it's not going to be solved until we swallow the vinegar, till we reduce our spending, till we learn to live within our means, and we begin to do the hard things and make sacrifices. Well, speaking of making a sacrifice, someone who understands what I'm talking about when I say it's better to take a teaspoon of vinegar than continue to live off of sugar is my next guest. In fact, he's an expert at getting out of debt because Jerry Bailey and his wife, Sue, have done just that. In fact, I think they could teach the folks in Washington a lesson or two. Jerry Bailey is associate pastor at Grace Church in Jackson, Michigan, and he's got an amazing story. He and his wife have been named Clients of the Year by the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Jerry, welcome to Money Life.
Thank you so much. Nice to be with you.
Jerry, what did you have to do to make the Client of the Year for the NFCC?
Well, over a period of just over 5 years, we paid off just over $92,000 of consumer debt.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Tell us, how did you manage to get into that kind of debt?
Well, over the years, we just continued to accumulate credit cards, and it came to a point where we had 17 credit cards between the two of us. And when you spread debt out over, you know, over that wide an area, it doesn't seem like much. But then when we sat down and added it all up, we were very seriously in debt.
Yeah. And Jerry, how much was that debt relative to your income, if you don't mind sharing that? In other words, give us some picture of the proportion that this was to your overall financial condition.
Oh, debt to income. I'm not exactly sure about the exact percentage or that kind of a thing. I do know that it came to a point where we were not even able to make the minimum payments on all the credit cards. And so that's what was a wake-up call to us.
So what happened that triggered you and Sue to take action? Was there a day or a moment in time, a conversation where it all sort of came together?
I think I'll always remember that day. I went to our credit union where we do banking, and I was going to apply for a loan. I think we needed some sort of a repair around the house. And when the loan officer pulled up our credit report, her face just turned ashen. And she said not only could they not agree to a loan for us, but she would even recommend that we consider bankruptcy. At that point, my face turned ashen. And after our talk together, then she suggested that we contact a credit counseling agency, which actually partners with our credit union, and that's what we did.
Hmm. Immediately. So you saw danger and took action, right?
Oh, yes. I could see very quickly that we were drowning and needed a life preserver thrown to us. Mm. And when she suggested that we contact that agency, we jumped on it.
You know, Jerry, I know many pastors have financial problems, but seldom are they willing to admit it or to go public with that. Was this a difficult decision for you, being a pastor?
Well, the thought did cross my mind, but our church really, really believes that we as Christians, as believers, need to be open and honest and transparent. And so that's why we decided to go ahead and go forward with this to make it public knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, God has used this in a lot of people's lives.
I can imagine. I'm sure he's using it in people's lives right now, Jerry. As a pastor, you had to be aware of God's financial principles. Were there any of those that really helped contribute to your commitment to get out of debt?
Well, first of all, you know, we believe that the Bible teaches that we take personal responsibility for our stuff, for the things that we do. And nobody else got us into debt. We did it to ourselves, and so we took personal responsibility. And that's why we didn't want to go the bankruptcy route, if it was all possible. And it was, and so we did that. And I think the Bible also tells us to not give up. Getting out of debt is a good thing. And so that was encouraging to us to continue to be faithful to our debt management or debt repayment program to complete that. There were a couple of scriptures that came to mean a lot to us. Early on, the scripture in Proverbs 22:7 saying that the borrower is slave to the lender. We felt like we were slaves, like we were in jail. And that's not a very good feeling. We didn't want to live our lives that way. And so that there's another that spurred us on to continue and to be faithful. And then in Joel 2:25, it says, I will restore you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. Those years, during the time we were repaying our debt, were very lean years for us. There were weeks when we didn't have money to buy food. We really cut back on all of our expenses as far as we could in order to be faithful to that. At one point, my wife was ill and required surgery. And so she was out of work for just about 5 months. And that put a real damper on our program because our income dropped by almost half. So the debt management program, our counselor worked with our creditors to reduce our payments to them, and it all worked out. It all worked out very well. So during those years, the debt, it really hurt our intimacy, the intimacy between my wife and me. It just put up a wall there. But we had to really learn how to communicate and how to talk, how to be open and honest. And that has been a help to us, just as a married couple. But there were other times when we could not be together. There were times when we couldn't be with our grandchildren because we were working. I took on a part-time second job to help with the debt repayment. So that all took time away from our time being together. So I guess that's kind of how that all played out during that 5.5 years.
Well, congratulations for completing that journey. You know, I hear two things, Jerry. First of all, you decided to begin. You didn't hesitate. You started, but you also finished. And those are the two most important steps. But it sounds like you were committed in the interim to do what you had to do, even when your wife lost her job. There are people listening right now, Jerry, who are obviously inspired. They're identifying with the stress you were under, with the friction it causes in the marriage. All of those things are real, and people are living there today. What advice would you give them to encourage them to get started, to get rid of that lie that it could never be done in their life? Because that's why most people don't start. They don't think it's possible to get out of debt. What would you share with them?
Well, I would say, first of all, you know, talk to one another and communicate about your situation to one another. Talk to God. And also listen for what he says to you. But don't give up. There are agencies, there are people out there who can help and give you wise counsel. And so I would really encourage anybody who is in debt, in over their heads in debt, to try to work out with their creditors, either personally or through a debt management program, payments to begin to repay that debt. It does require sacrifice, and you have to be willing to sacrifice, because that's what, in many cases, got us where we were. We weren't sacrificing. And so that's how I would counsel somebody who is in our situation.
Let me ask you one more question, Jerry. What does it feel like today? What have been the benefits of completing this journey?
Well, the day that our counselor called and told me that we had completed our debt management program and we had paid off over $92,000 in debt, I had to ask her to repeat that because I wasn't sure I was hearing right. But then we celebrated together over the phone, and I felt like the weight of the world had been lifted off my shoulders. I felt like I had been freed from prison. So just the feeling of being free of that debt, of that ball and chain, was one thing that has resulted of that. Another thing is that we have been able to help some other people, to point them to God, first of all, and then point them to in the direction of some help or how to get out of debt. So we've been able to help some other people, and to me, that's what it's all about. We're all fellow strugglers. We're all fellow pilgrims. And what we can do to help one another is very important.
Well, Jerry, I am inspired, and I know our listeners will be as well. Thank you, first of all, for your service as a pastor and for your humility and transparency and the godly example that you've set for so many. Congratulations to you and to Sue, and thank you for being on our program today, Jerry.
Well, I certainly appreciate the opportunity, and thank you very much.
You know, I take away a lot of lessons from Jerry's testimony. A personal lesson is to never let debt get out of control. When it gets out of control, you'll wake up one day and you'll be in crisis. Isn't it interesting that he didn't feel the pain until after years of misusing his credit cards? And then one day, just like that, he was in trouble. I thank God for Jerry's wisdom, because he didn't delay. He did something about it instantly. Now, you don't have to let it get that far. If you're headed down that road, take action now. In fact, the reason I talk about the macro problems that we face, the reason I'm continuing to remind you that we're in serious trouble, economic trouble right now in the United States and Europe, is that austerity plans are going to have to be imposed here and abroad if the debt problem is going to be solved. That's what I call the teaspoon of vinegar. We're going to have to adjust and make sacrifices as a nation. But what's more important is that you don't get caught by surprise by that, that you take action now. The Proverbs tell us that the prudent see danger and do something about it, but the simple continue as if nothing was going to happen. Don't take the sugar, swallow the vinegar now. I hope that's been inspiring to you and that you will do something about your personal debt as a result of Jerry's testimony and what you see happening around the world. Now, let's switch gears and go to some issues that I think can help you in regard to your automobile loan. Whether you have a loan now or you're thinking about financing a new or used car, here are six tips that will help you manage your debt. Here's number one, bump up your credit score. Your interest rate is pegged to your credit score. So the higher your credit score, the lower your interest rate. Number two, don't borrow too little. Now that doesn't mean borrow a lot. It just means that for a small loan, the bank is going to increase the interest rate to make it worth their while. Anything below $5,000, you should use your savings to purchase as opposed to borrowing the money to do it. Now here's another option. Many people are locked in at a high interest car loan. Do you realize you can refinance your car loan because interest rates are at rock bottom right now? Just go and shop around, find somebody else that might be interested in refinancing your current car loan to a lower interest rate. I think that's a great idea. Now here's another tip, and I think this is a big one. Always shop around for your financing before you walk into the dealership. Many people walk onto the lot assuming they can get their financing in the manager's office once they picked out a car. That's always a bad idea because you're not allowing the competitive market forces to work. So shop for your financing before you ever go to the car dealership to pick out what you're going to buy. Now, this is a tricky one. You can actually lease your car instead of buying it and get a lower monthly payment. Now, in the long run, I don't think that's a good idea, but if you're in a business where you need to keep your car very current and you go through them rather often to keep the latest model, and your business is able to pay for the cost of the lease, it may be a better option than trying to buy one right now. And finally, don't allow your capacity to borrow money to tempt you to buy the most expensive car you can afford. Consider buying a smaller car, something that allows you to maintain your financial margin. I know many people have to have a vehicle in order to get to work. Transportation is essential in our economy, but you don't have to have the latest and greatest or most expensive car you can afford. Buy smaller, live within your means. That's always a good idea. And if you do have a car note, my best advice is to pay it off as soon as possible. The value of that car is not increasing, so the sooner you stop paying interest on that loan, the better off you're going to be. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life. I hope you've been inspired by the testimony of Pastor Jerry Bailey. I so respect him for his humility and transparency, and I do hope you'll take the necessary steps to swallow the vinegar. Don't get hooked on sugar. That's living beyond your means, incurring more debt, and believing that more debt will solve debt problems. Bite the bullet today. Take that step. And if you need help doing it, we have Money Map coaches available. Their services are absolutely free. They're standing by, willing to help you. All you have to do is go to crown.org, request an appointment with a Money Map coach, and it'd be our privilege to serve you. Also, we're keeping an eye on this debt crisis, both in Europe and the United States, for a reason. We think it's going to affect all of us if the dominoes begin to fall, and we need to be prepared to be the salt and light in our culture. I'm producing a weekly newsletter. It's free. You can subscribe to it online at crown.org. It's called handwriting on the wall. We're looking at world events and trends through a biblical lens, and it provides information you won't find anywhere else. And also, don't forget, we're looking for people to join us, to come and help us to spread the good news of God's financial principles. You can learn more about that at crown.org. It's a program we called Crown Associates. It may be of interest to you and your family. Well, that's it for Money Life. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next time.